Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu-Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. Thank you very much for joining me, because it's when things are really busy, things are really hectic, there's a lot of noise happening, which is what's happening at the moment. It makes us feel actually in a way very vulnerable. But what that does, I think, is that it keeps us stuck for very much longer. And the thing about being stuck is it then becomes a self-fulfilling space. You're stuck because you're stuck, and then because you're stuck, you stay stuck. And for many of us, getting unstuck doesn't happen until we hit, you know, I'm always, when I introduce people, looking for the moment that made them turn left and decide to change. And what if there wasn't a moment? What if it just was that where you were so crap and so awful and so terrible that you just knew something had to change, but you didn't know what? Until then, it's like, I remember when I was growing up and my brother would sit exams. I mean, we're Indian. You got like murdered if you failed exams. It just wasn't part of the psyche or the culture. And my brother would constantly try and fail exams. And I was like, I didn't get it. And he goes, why do you pass? And I'm like, because I'm too lazy to fail. If I fail, I have to go take it again. And that will hurt so much more. So there has to come, I think, a point for all of us when we create change that not changing is the worst possible thing that can happen to you. And it feels so awful. It feels so terrible. You can't recognize yourself. And that's when you start changing. And so today's guest is going to walk us through kind of that journey, that there isn't this big dramatic thing that happened and a finger came from the ceiling and went, yes, you, it's your turn. But it just became an inevitable, yeah, I don't want to live like this. I can't live like this anymore. What is going to happen? And I would like to welcome Sean Robinson. Sean, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks, Gita, for having me. I appreciate being here and look forward to this conversation.
So there was no epiphany, right? It just became worse and worse and you thought, I can't do this anymore?
Yeah, I think for my general habits and routines, it just kept getting worse. I was gaining weight. Weight had always been an issue, but finding myself at 320 pounds, just generally negative, becoming more and more miserable, the habits I had making things much worse. It was just a down spiral that was going to end badly, I'm sure of it.
I'm trying to understand 320 pounds. That just seems like a lot.
And I'm 5'10", 5'10". So, you know, that it was a lot. And, you know, I think my body mass index is somewhere around like the 180 pound mark. So, you know, at 320, that was a pretty, it was uncomfortable. And, you know, I had physical job and volunteer firefighter, and it made all of that difficult, and three young kids, and the energy levels that I had were just not there. So, you know, to be present for my kids and myself, and just everything made me feel worse and worse and worse. And, you know, it just translated in other areas. I didn't have, you know, a piece that said, you know, you have to do this to fix it. It was just, that's the way it was for me at the time.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing about stuff like this that I find really interesting, I mean, having worked, part of it is the weight thing, right? I ran a detox business, but nobody gave a shit. It was a weight loss business ultimately, because everybody just came in going, my life doesn't work. I'm going to lose weight and it'll all be fine. And of course, no surprise, 97 of them were women. So it's always good to talk to a man as a different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, what's interesting to me about this is I don't think anyone chooses to get overweight. I don't think they choose to feel terrible. I don't think they choose to, it's more that they don't stop choosing the things they're doing, right? Can you speak to that a bit?
Yeah, I can. It becomes some, just a loophole that I was in to just keep doing the same things. You know, we bought the same groceries, we ate the same meals, the snack times, they were the same. It was all the habits that I had that were awful. It was, you know, when working construction, it's sometimes it's breakfast sandwiches in the morning with coffee, and it's eating a takeout at lunchtime, and then it's, you know, whatever we do for dinner and snacks in the evening, rinse and repeat every day. And then, you know, the weekends it's up late and whatever, if it's drinking and functions, it's that, it's one thing, but then it's, you know, what pizza nights and all the other things. It's, you know, it's such a routine of all of these habits. And, you know, you get to a point where, you know, if you're doing the same thing and your calorie intake is, you know, over the roof every day, it's not gonna go away on its own, right? You have to, you know, purposefully change that. And it's quite a process to get to that point, but it's not difficult. It's just consistency is more the key than the difficulty.
So if you're saying consistency is the key, like I was speaking to a woman earlier today, and she's a diabetic, and she's a client of mine as a coach, but she only wants to talk about mindset. She doesn't want to talk about her body at all. And she's constantly like, I mean, I know what I need to do. That's what I hear the most. I just don't do it. What do you have to say to that?
I think that was my biggest excuse for a long time, was that I told myself I knew what I needed to do. I just have to do it. But the problem is, we don't always know what we need to do, because to say exercise or to say diet, that's a massive subject. That's a huge category for both of them. And what does that mean to you? Everybody's body's different. We all react differently to different exercises and different diets. So, you know, to just simply say diet, that's a lot of pressure, because what does that mean to the individual? What does that mean to me? So,
Well, it's
you
also
know,
where do you start, right? What's the one thing?
exactly, where do you start? So, you know, do you spend all this money and then join this program, whatever it is, to get the powders or the, you know, the whatever, and not get the results you want right away, but now you're out this money for the program? Or is there something else? It's kind of doing your own research, but it's also like, maybe there's a simpler method. You know, fasting is a massive thing, and it's something that I use a lot now. And you know, it's really just not eating for a period. You know, if you
So where did you start? Like to take you back to the do you understand where you started? Do you know where you started?
where I started was I stopped drinking alcohol. It was
Oh, that makes a huge difference because the amount
the
of
end.
crap we eat when we're drunk.
Yeah, and it was, you know, just a sequence of habits and routines with, you know, camping and summertime and being outside and different functions. And, you know, I'd always been brought up in a you know, an environment where alcohol was plentiful, and it was a tool for, you know, celebration. It was, you know, what you had on a Friday if you had a, you know, an awful day. It was all of the things that it is in society in my upbringing. So I used all those reasons and habits in my own life. And then I got to that point where it was like, if I'm going to make a change, I need to maybe remove something. So it was the end of 2020 and dry January, you know, resolution time was coming up. And I thought, you know, what if I could do a break? I'll take January off drinking alcohol. And it was kind of in that process where I was, and it was always in pursuit of just healthier life and more positivity and general lifestyle. I never, as much as there was definitely some addictive tendencies, I never felt like I was coming from an addictive place. It was more just not happy with where I was in my life, physically and mentally.
How did that work then, the January? Did you find it
Honestly,
easy, hard?
I didn't know what I was doing. Like I left 2020 and I just started journaling, and coming from the, you know, the masculine dominant sectors, construction and firefighting that I was in, it was like I couldn't even talk about that. And without getting kind of whatever hazing or backlash from my friends. So I kept it to myself. And as I started January, I continued to journal and just kind of brain dump mostly, right? Put all these things down. I didn't feel like I needed to explain to somebody else, and really found the benefit of doing that. But as I processed what I was doing, everybody around me that was doing their own version of dry January or resolutions, I mean, they all fell off by the middle of the month. They were doing their own thing again. And I was like, I don't like this. This means more to me this time. This is more important than 2 weeks. So I'm going to commit to January. And, you know, as I did that, I didn't think January was enough. I got to the end. I'm like, you know what? Dry February is a thing. It's a short month. Like, maybe I'll do this for another month and just see how I feel. And kind of in that February month, I started to listen to more podcasts and audiobooks, and, you know, really start to dive into a lot of the habit structure like listening to James Clear, reading James Clear, Atomic Habits, and different books like that to learn about habits and routines and lifestyles. And I start to try more things, like doing things for 100 days and writing it on the calendar. And at one point, I had five or six different little marks on my calendar for all the different things I was working on. And then one of them being just brushing my teeth twice a day. So I'd have a calendar, a check mark in the morning, a check mark in the evening when I brushed my teeth, and I tried it for 100 days, and then I stopped tracking it just to see if it stuck. It was just an experiment on myself. And in doing that, I learned what I needed to do to be able to change these habits. And at the end of that 100 days, like, I couldn't leave my house without brushing my teeth. It was like I'd leave and go back, or I'd get out of bed and like, oh, I have to do this. And I wasn't even tracking it anymore, so I couldn't visually see that I broke that chain. It was just part of who I was now. And that's a small example, but drinking, it was like I got to the 100 days, and I'm like, I don't really want to go back. I feel great. I've got better attitude. I'm starting to lose weight. Like, what if I could do this for the entire year? What if I could not drink alcohol for an entire year? It never happened since I was a kid. So then I challenged myself to go all of 2021 without drinking, and all the while keeping track in my journal, which became my book. It was just the things I ran into, the experiences I had, different rules I made for myself that kind of helped me get through certain moments. And it was all in a process to, especially at the end, it was to kind of get back to where I was, where I didn't even know what I was doing when I got started.
Can I just what I want to do is have a conversation about the one of the interesting things about giving up alcohol is that it forces you to develop certain skills as a human, because alcohol takes the place of those skills is something that I know extremely well. And so we're going to go for a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to please talk about that.
The station that makes you feel good.
Did you know 38% of Ohio's teenagers have spent money on gambling in video and online games? Items like mystery boxes, skins, and spin to win mimic gambling, putting children at a higher risk of experiencing a gambling disorder as an adult. So get in the know about youth gambling and start the conversation with discussion guides, parent resources, and more at changethegameohio.org. That's changethegameohio.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What I was married to an alcoholic, and I remember watching, and there was a, I liked to drink, but there was a huge difference between firstly addiction and enjoying alcohol. But I remember looking at the scenario I was in and thinking, I think I'm just not going to drink. There's too much emphasis on alcohol and I'm not enjoying, and I've always been the biggest lightweight in the world, of course. So that didn't help very much. But then, and I every day would just wake up and think, it's okay. I'm a single parent now. I have these three kids. I can't show up. And I would get hungover with two drinks. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna, take a little break. And then, but I never thought of not drinking. I actually thought instead was the things that I had to do, which therefore I couldn't drink because I have to do these things. And for me, it carried on for 10 years because I wasn't paying attention and I was like, just got used to not doing it. And it was, I never told myself, oh, you can't have a drink, because then I'd have drunk for sure. Because I was like, but I was just like, oh, I just have to do these things. And then I would have to do those things and then whatever. And I remember one day thinking, actually, I want a drink. And then I had a drink. And then, but it's a completely different place I come at it from. What I'm actually trying to would like to ask you about is we are brought up globally to use alcohol to suppress how we feel. Right. So what did you would have had to redevelop an entire version of you that had feelings, that dealt with the feelings, that was a nice person, that wasn't somebody who shouted. How did it affect all the relationships in your life with your wife and your kids and your partner and, I mean, your business and everything?
Well, it was a gradual process, of course. Like, it wasn't something that happened the next day, but it was, and then everything was different too. My relationship with my wife has always been great, but there was definitely some moments where my drinking became an issue. And we were probably destined for, and she told me later, like after I stopped drinking and it was probably a year in, she was like, you know what, honestly, we were going to have a hard conversation soon. Like it was getting to a point where I wasn't going to be dealing with it anymore. So, we didn't have to have that, but having that awareness at a point where I was already decided on my own to be away from it would have hit me way differently than I'm sure than, if it was, if we had gotten to that point.
Yeah, you did it for
So
you instead.
I exactly. And while I did it for me, I did it for everybody around me too, because I know how like that it all translates. And, back to your question, for her, my wife, it was such a, relief because we started to get rid of that thing that was kind of in the background and then work towards having a better relationship without even knowing that me not knowing that that's where we were headed.
Yeah.
So, and then my kids, having that energy and being more present, and then listening, like I have a 45 to an hour minute commute each way to work, and I've listened to a lot of different content. And I came home one day after listening to John Gordon's Energy Bus and hearing one section of this book. It was like, he talks about the greatest golf shot, and it's that one shot in a round of golf that keeps you coming back. It's like you could play awful all day, but you'll remember that one shot.
Yeah.
So, a few miserable moments at the dinner table with my kids, just them not really having a good attitude and me wanting to turn it around. I said, well, let's change this. Let's like, what was your favorite thing today? What was the best thing that happened today? And my kids are all three kids under 11 years old, and at the time much younger, because that was about 3 years ago. It was like hard. It was difficult. Like, well, I don't know, like nothing. And I was like, no, like somebody smiled or a joke or your favorite color on something. It was just pick something. And we went from not having those conversations to, they'll each have 20 or 30 things that were
Yeah.
made them happy in a day. And different things like that, where like it translated to work and being more supportive. And I'm a manager now, so it's definitely helped with that progression. And not having that in my life and focusing on other things absolutely has helped every one of my relationships.
How did you as a man the combination, how did it work with when you couldn't tell your buddies or the people you work with that you didn't drink, and especially with very hard physical labor, when you all go out finish, you go for a drink, right? So A, how did that work? And B, because I know how this works for women, but for guys, did you then your relationship with your father or siblings or something, your male kind of thing, how did those two experiences work?
Well, it was a struggle, but I think because it was gradual, I could process it better. Because in the beginning, it wasn't that I was just gonna quit. It was just, oh, I'm gonna take a break. January,
Thing.
February, 100 days, and then the year, and I'm still not drinking. But for the purpose, like it was a piece at a time, and then the next milestone. But like in the beginning, like we'd go, my brother and I was he off he invited me over, so I had two younger brothers. And the one was like, oh, like, why don't you come over for a beer? And I said, oh, like, I'm good, thanks. And he's like, oh, why, you didn't get your coin yet? And like really throwing that at me, like I couldn't have a drink because I didn't get a milestone from a program, or because like it was such an insensitive comment. And I talked to him about it later, but like those were the kinds of things I was dealing with. And I was in a friend's wedding, and my friend was in my wedding, but that was years ago, when 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when I was at a different point in my life. And now I wasn't drinking, so it was a break. And that break, as it extended into the full year and beyond, it was like, it was his wedding was in there, and every function, it was the bachelor party, the showers, all the things. You better drink at my wedding. You like, or whatever, you better drink at my wedding. And then even New Year's Eve, when I had committed to the full year at the time, and I was still processing what the next step was going to look like. And I have to reflect on that in my book, but it was, what is that going to look like? And New Year's Eve, he's like, oh yeah, you can't have a drink because it's not New Year's yet. Like just every bit to jab about that process I was in. And he's really supportive now. Like we still talk, but it was such a difficult thing, because I was trying to process how I was going to show up and how I was going to, as you said, basically relearn how to do everything without this in my life. And I'm feeling like I have to show up a certain way anyways, but for, you know, my friend at his wedding and all the things that I used to do by being a big supporter and having this in this situation, it was a hard process. But the way I got through it was because I broke it down in pieces, and it was, you know, let's just worry about today. Let's worry about the January and then February. It was a lot easier because once I compounded a bit of that time without it, it was like I started to learn how I was doing things without it, that I had more confidence continuing to do it that way.
And it's true that I have found, because I've created changes, even like walking out on a bad marriage is a big change, or not drinking or whatever, it makes people around you incredibly uncomfortable. Because I wonder if it's, I think it's because we make them feel uncomfortable about their behavior, but they're not uncomfortable enough to change it. So it's easier to attack you than to look at themselves, right? Did you find this? That sounds like that's what you're saying.
I had a few moments like that. Yeah, definitely. There was one, a friend was, I one of my rules that I kind of set was that I wasn't going to hide from everything. I was going to, you know, maybe not go to the bar on Fridays, but like at least be out there and still participate the way I want to participate. And, you know, one of my friends was like, "Oh, you know, your wife's not here. You can drink with us." And I'm like, "No, like I'm here and I'm gonna drink something else, but I'm not doing it for her." And while I was doing it for my family, it was like that wasn't the reason I wasn't doing it. And you know, another moment, it was like kind of the same thing. It was like, you know, you can do this now because it's been a year or because of whatever. And you know, it was just I had to decide. And you know, a lot of that pressure, like I at a restaurant out with some buddies after work, and you know, this is construction guys, so like there's a
Exactly.
lifestyle there that's almost expected, unfortunately. And I ordered a virgin cocktail, right? So a mocktail with it was a, you know, a Caesar in Canada. It's basically a Bloody Mary with a Clamato juice and with a vodka. And I got it without the vodka because the rest of it I enjoyed. And you know, I'm in front of a bunch of construction guys ordering a virgin Caesar. It did not go over well, but you know, I made jokes about it. It was fun. Like you know, I was luckily with a group that wasn't, you know, trying to attack me in any way. It
No,
was.
it's the ones closest to you that attack you. That's what I found. If the ones who were slightly further apart were kind of more okay, it was the people that were the closest that started to attack.
Know, just like my brother, right, asking me about my coin, and
Yeah, or your close friends, or.
I wasn't in a program, but you know, for him to say something like that, it really wasn't what I needed in that moment.
No, and it's really interesting to me that it's I think that's why partly change is so difficult, because there's such a level of bitchiness that you get, that's not a swear word in this country. There's such a level of bitchiness you get around being successful at remaking yourself. And I'm like, if I don't mind that you're a loser, I don't know why you should worry about the fact that I'm not a loser. I mean, like, if I'm willing to accept you in your loserness, can you accept me in my successfulness? You're way too polite to talk like that, of course, being Canadian, but I'm, yeah. And so there is that whole thing, which is so interesting. Okay, so we're going to go for a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the thing that's the most frightening about change. Where I was speaking to a woman yesterday, and she said, I'm worried about changing because I feel like it'll get worse. So I'd love us to have a conversation about that when we're back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. It gets worse before it gets better.
I think it does. I think, but I think we think harder, and we think it's worse than it is. And I mean, the worst before it gets better is because it's unfamiliar. Like we're gonna get into a, you know,
Terrifying.
possibly a situation that we're not used to. So we don't have a reference point in our brain to know what we're walking into. Like going to a concert the first time and not having a drink or two while we're there, and that was something I used to do. Or packing a cooler.
A nightclub without a drink the first time was like a date. I mean, you were married, but going on a date sober.
It was, yeah. So, you know, to do these things without, there was, a bit of that. And I think that the frightening point is just like, I'm so used to doing these things now with that thing. If it's alcohol, if it's something else, right? It's a similar situation. It's like, the hard part is thinking about doing it without. And we just have to think about it smaller. We can't think about this giant mountain that we're thinking we want to climb. It's just, getting to that point that we want to see that what the bottom looks like. And then that being going to one thing and drinking, maybe not. One of my rules was not to go to the mocktails. So right away for the first like 9 months, it was like, I don't want to replace one routine with another. So it was sparkling water. It was water. I had a special cup that just a Yeti type mug that I used where I'd put whatever I wanted in it, and I could feel like I was, participating, whatever. But the other point about change is like we think about, oh, like I'm gonna lose all my friends now because I'm not doing this anymore. And that's been a major one that I thought, and being on several of different conversations, it's like that's a big question. And I think we think it's more instantaneous than it is, because whether it's you're changing a habit, a lifestyle, a career, a school, whatever, it's like you don't immediately lose all of the people that you were friends with yesterday. It's you may grow further apart because you're not sharing the common things that you had before, if it's same career, if it's whatever. But that's natural. You're going to have that happen anyways. So if like for me, when I wasn't drinking anymore, it and not that I that was what I wanted, but it started to have an effect on who I was only hanging around with because I was drinking.
Also, can shout out to how boring people are when they're drunk and you're sober, by the way. I mean, that really does make you evaluate a whole bunch of shit.
You get to the end of the night and you're like, I'm good to go. I don't need to be around for this. So, you can be.
Now, there's a tipping point. Did you find that? I found that you could just come up and after a while, you're like, oh, it's time. Gotta go.
Yeah,
And you're out of there.
there's that like belligerent part of the night where it's like sloppy. Like, I like to leave well before that anymore.
No, I agree with you. I did that. There was just a place where I was like, I know you think you're interesting, but I must just go and jump off that cliff because you are so tedious. Yeah, it's true. I really like what you just said about how the change is more gradual than people think. And it is very true because you can look back over a year or 5 years and think, whoa, look how far I've come. But in fact, for some reason, this phrase is stuck in my brain at the moment, but it's like chopping wood. It's just one chop and then it's another chop and it's another chop. And one of the other things is people try and give up too many things at the same time. Like when I ran my detox business and people were coming and go, I'm going to do a detox. I'm like, okay, but I'm not going to let you do it unless you promise not to give up coffee. Because they would give up friggin' everything. And then they'd be ringing me up every day yelling at me because they felt like shit. And I'm like, really, let's just be clear. Give up one thing and let's manage that process. But like giving up coffee is brutal. Right? It's much worse than giving up food. It is. It's so much worse. And I'm like, just please drink your coffee, but you can give up food for 3 days because I know I can give you enough calories in a juice fast. And you don't need as many calories as you're eating anyway. But if you give up coffee at the same time, oh my God, you're going to be unbearable.
Yeah, that's a massive point. Like it worked better for me because I wasn't doing a full detox. It was alcohol, and then there was a period of time where it was sugar. Like I took couple not like completely, because that's I did a full month of like complete sugar. I had a little bit of fruit, but it was like I was reading labels, and if there was a sauce that had even anything in it, like it was that's difficult. But you can have a lot better relationship with sugar where, okay, maybe you allow it in a sauce when you have a certain thing, but then you're not having the donuts and the cookies and the things. Like that full detox is a lot of pressure, and in my experience, I think it worked better because it was kind of one thing at a time, and then a full detox from sugar for me was a month at a time. And then it was, not to go back to old routines. It was to then have a new relationship with that thing for the next month and see how that felt. And, really this whole process of experimenting with these different things and not having certain things on myself really showed me what, does and doesn't work. And that comes back to what we said about exercise and diet. It's like, I'm starting to learn what might be a better thing to work on because I've actually done some things And at no cost. Like these are all things like it's probably saving me money because if I'm
Oh, for
fasting or
sure.
if I'm not buying certain snacks and things, it's like I'm actually saving money, but I'm gauging what these things are doing to me. And after my drinking, it was I ended up getting to a point where I lost 100 pounds and I started doing endurance running and
And then it
yeah,
escalates. That makes
couple
it
half
worse.
marathons. And if I thought about that when I was 200 or 320 pounds and afraid to write in a journal because of what I might hear from people, I would have never gotten to this point, right? Like to think about that far ahead, it's important to have that goal and that like that vision for ourselves, but like we can't start there. We have to start much simpler.
And I want to really highlight that because it is one of the worst things we do to ourselves because we try and run before we walk. And I always say to people, please just do one thing. Just start small. I got long COVID in 2022 and I went from CrossFit 4 times a week and rah, rah, rah to I couldn't walk upstairs. And I'm a health expert. So that was like, yay. And nothing I did worked. Nothing I did worked because it was the level of stress I was constantly carrying and how I functioned that needed to change. And it's so amorphous. If I just could give up bloody alcohol or sugar, that'd be great. But it wasn't that. It was I had to change how I thought. And I remember looking at this process and thinking, I'm just going to try and get to the top of the stairs in one go. And having a history of running health and wellness over, it really stood me in good stead. But it was a 2-year journey to get back to normal health. And that is a huge, bloody long time. So if somebody had told me, I remember doing yoga for 10 minutes and then thinking, I think I'll just stop and die quietly in the corner. It would take me 3 days to get back to doing more yoga, 3 days to do another 10 minutes. And that was just so painful because who I saw myself as and what I really was doing, there was such a big divide. And so if you don't, I think this goal thing is a very bad thing on some levels. I think if you just do the thing you're doing today and then the thing for tomorrow, it makes it easier to create change, right? So it's a really great conversation. Thank you. Can you tell, you wrote a book. Tell us a little bit about your book before we finish, please. What's it called? How do people find it?
So I actually have another one coming out, an anthology. But my first book is called Going Dry, My Path to Overcoming Habitual Drinking. It is the my basically from my journal of the experience from that point at the end of 2020 at 320 pounds and the things that I wrote in my journal. It's kind of what I start with until the end of that year and my reflection period and challenge to the reader. It's something that was what I needed when I got started and something that I put myself out there for who I used to be and anyone that can use it that can relate. For that real version, I think there's a lot of great content out there that speaks to the science behind it and a lot of the technique and sometimes we just need somebody we relate to and so that was
Somebody to
that and
hold your
then
hand through the first step, right?
yeah and you know what when we see things that are possible because others have done it especially at that level we see ourselves in that situation more too and it gives us a bit more confidence as we start things to say you know what like if these people are doing this like I can do it I'm strong too I can do it.
Hence inspiration, right? When does your next book come out?
So my next one comes out Monday on September 9th. It is I wrote a chapter in an anthology project called For the Grandchildren, and the concept is that we may not all be grandparents, but we are all grandchildren, and it's a book of wisdom. It's a book of sharing things that we went through and beliefs and stories from our own lives, and it's got a lot of great authors and a lot of contribution and. Yeah, it'll be out actually Grandparents Day, Canada, US is on the 9th, so it should be out by
Sure.
then.
So you coach as well, right? You coach people.
Yeah, so I started into some mindset coaching and because there's a lot of layers to the journey that I've been on with the alcohol, with the running, with the weight loss, with just general habit structure. I've seen a lot of benefit just helping other people find their purpose and find their realize that it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter where you work, what your industry says that you have to show up like. You can really decide to do whatever you want. And you don't always know, like I said earlier, we think we know what we have to do and we just have to do it. But until you know exactly what that starting point is, you know, but like dieting isn't dieting. It's a huge thing that you need to kind of narrow down what it is you want to do, if it's cut calories or fast or whatever.
Eating unprocessed food, or there are so many reasons.
Exactly. It's a big thing.
Do you like yourself more?
I do. I do. I think it was, there was a lot of things that were about myself that I was just burying. I was just hiding, and I kept showing up the same way because that's what I was used to and that's what people expected of me. But, you know, inside I felt for a long time that, you know, I just, something was missing. And it's much easier to say that now. Like I would have hid that. I would have, like, I always felt I had
Have a
to
drink.
be tough and, you know, masculine and strong and show no weakness and not talk about it. And not, you know what, I'm reading books by Brené Brown now, and I'm being vulnerable, and I'm sharing a lot of this for the sake of somebody else. And, you know, it's not weak to be going through stuff. We're all going through different
Yeah.
versions of these things. And, you know, it's powerful to be able to have these conversations and to share and you know, put it out there for not only my therapy. Like, it's been very helpful for me to talk about it, but also for someone else that's listening to this conversation that says, you know what, like, I like that. I'm gonna do the 30 days, or I'm gonna, you know, start brushing my teeth more because that's something that bothers me. It's whatever it is.
Yeah, and it takes so much strength to be vulnerable, actually, much more than we think it does. Thank you very much for joining me. This was the wonderful and amazing Sean Robinson. And I hope that the chat today has been, you know, something that has been kind of like a gentle inspiration. I don't like these big bang inspirations because I think they disappear as fast as they arrive. But stuff like this, where it's been the cornerstone of my life, where you do one thing and then just do one more thing and then just do one more thing. If every day there's a 2% change, 2%, which is negligible, you will find yourself in a completely different place in 6 months, and another place, and you know, hell, you'll find yourself in a different place tomorrow because of that one simple choice you made today. I'm not saying it's easy, but nobody said it was had to be easy, right? At least it's interesting and it's different and it makes you feel better. Thank you very much for joining me. My name is Geeta Siddhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself, and I'll be joining you again soon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Siddhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.